All right, I'd like to call the June 13th Board of Trustees of Jerusalem Township meeting order at 7 o'clock. I'd like to begin by requesting a moment of silence, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Dave Bench. Bo Miller.
Present.
Mark Sauer.
Present.
Roll call complete.
All right, we have two sets of minutes. We have the minutes from the May 23rd regular meeting. I move for that those be accepted. Is there a second?
I second that.
Roll call, Dave Bench. Mark Sauer.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Meeting minutes approved.
And I also have a set of meeting minutes from the June 6th special meeting. I move for approval of those minutes as well.
I can second that.
Roll call, Bo Miller.
Yes.
Dave Bench. Mark Sauer.
Yes.
Meeting minutes approved.
All right, thank you. Joel, fiscal officer's report, please.
Deposit since last meeting is $22,097.09. Fund status, $621,218.89. And pooled investments, $766,034.38. And checking payment listings, warrant numbers 21769 through 21815. And electronic payments, 68-2023 through 712023. And that totals $54,312.14. And for a motion to...
I move for approval of the fiscal officer's report as read.
Second that.
Roll call. Mark Sauer.
Yes.
Dave Bench. Bo Miller.
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right. And we have a... We need approval of the bill for the salt. Kevin, and not please.
$6.
Okay, Kevin.
I don't think that thing's working. Microphone.
So the amount is for 100 tons of salt, $6,170 for Lucas County Engineers. This is already delivered in our salt shed.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they had an overflow at their shop. So they brought over 300 ton out here, so it's already on the premises.
So I move to get this bill paid to Lewis County.
I'll second that.
Roll call, Dave Bench. Bo Miller.
Yes.
Mark Sauer.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay. All right. Thank you. We're going to transition into the main topic for this evening. This is an update for stakeholders and community members. And let me give a little bit of background. So some months back, last year, we applied for Jerusalem Township government and collaborated with the Reno Beach Howard Farms Conservancy District. We applied for an Ohio Lake Erie Commission grant in the amount of $83,200 to conduct an engineering survey of the entire levee system here in Jerusalem Township. That grant was approved, and that was awarded to the to CEC, the civil and engineering consultants. And tonight we're going to hear an update of what has been done so far by CEC. I want to remind everyone that at this point, no township funds have been used. This survey is completely grant funded, and As I mentioned, it was a cooperative effort between the Jerusalem Township government, which includes trustees David Bench, Beau Miller, and Mark Sattler, and the Reno Beach Howard Farms Conservancy District, which includes the directors Chris Flights, Adam Hoff, and Elvis Shepard. Now, I will also remind everyone that following the slide presentation, we will be taking comments and questions regarding the levy survey. We'll be accepting comments that pertain to the levy survey only, but we won't be accepting comments and questions regarding any other topics. So now I'd like to introduce Deanna Bobek. She's a project manager. She's with Civil and Engineering Consultants, and she's going to walk us through this slide presentation.
Well, thank you very much for being here tonight. It's always nice to be able to talk to engaged community members on various things that are going on in their communities. So I'm very pleased to be talking about this particular project. It's one that we've been involved with kind of from the beginning, pre-grant application. I'm Deanna Bobek. I'm from Civil and Environmental Consultants in the Toledo office. I serve as the Water Resources Practice Lead, and I'm managing this project, but I helped with some of the grant application components of it and helping through develop part of the program for it as well. Agenda of what we'll talk about tonight. Going to be giving you some information about the background of the project, how it came to be, what the field assessment portion looks like, what we've started to discover as we've been out there surveying the levees, and then what our next steps are as part of this project. Next slide, please. So, once again, as you've heard, this project was funded by an Ohio Lake Erie Commission grant. So the Lake Erie Commission is focused on preserving the waters and natural resources of Lake Erie, as well as protecting the economic development of the area as well. So back in August of last year, they put forth special funding for coastal resiliency. This is not normally a grant that is funded by the Lake Erie Commission. It's not a routine year after year program. It's likely that this program came about with some of the increased money available for infrastructure improvements. And so Jerusalem Township is one of seven entities that received this grant. Part of this program helps develop this partnership between Reno Beach Conservancy District and the township so that the levee system contained within Jerusalem County and the Conservancy District, the levee portions that are privately held can be inspected and can be looked at to look for deficiencies within the system. What's great about this program is it provides some strategic planning aspect to this. So rather than wait as we start to see lake levels change, as we see flooding increase over time, this allows the Conservancy District and the Township to start to plan for infrastructure improvements and be on the front end of applying for grant funds for implementation to fix, repair, maintain parts of the levee system. So this is a map of the project area. I realize it's a little bit washed out on the screen here. We do have maps around the room, and so after the presentation, Elena asked that you please peruse those maps to take a look. But the project area that we're talking about encompasses about 8.5 miles of levee. This includes, again, not only parts of the Reno Beach Howard Farms Conservancy District, but also includes parts of Jerusalem Township. What's highlighted in blue there is what we refer to as the U.S. Army Corps segment. So that's the portion that was built by the Corps. And then we have the parts in the green, which are primarily held outside and not part of that U.S. Army Corps segment. Our crews walked the entire 8.5 miles, making observations of the levee system. And as we did this, we're building a protocol for inspection that is based upon U.S. Army Corps DM inspection protocols. It also mixes in some Ohio Department of Natural Resources DM safety protocols. We have water resource engineers who do a lot of this type of work, and so putting together part of that protocol, things that they commonly see when they're out in the field, things that we would potentially look for in terms of failures or deficiencies with the levee systems. And so we put everything into an online database. And within this database, we've done this so that everything is in one place. We're not flipping through necessarily grounds, but you're able to zoom in and take a look at the system and see what deficiencies are where. Some of the things that we have looked for include vegetative growth. We know that vegetation on the banks can help stabilize, but it can also help, but it can also hurt levee systems, and that root systems can get in there and start to make things crumble. And so we're looking for, you know, obvious vegetation growth, we're looking for things like sort of stability, just for evidence of slumps, evidence of previous maintenance. Does it look like there's been some erosion and there's been some riprap that's been placed there that helps cure it? Look for things like animal burrows, because those can also cause weakness to levee systems, seepage, and other infrastructure type needs. We captured this data again in an online database so that as our crews were walking the mileage of the levee system, as they came across a deficiency, they would be able to stop and start to collect data on a field sheet that's actually within the computer program. And doing it this way allows us to actually geo-reference. There is an animal burrow here, so that you can go back out and literally follow it around on the database and the map that's created within that to find the same animal burrow. We took data points as point, like here's a burrow, here's a deficiency over here, here's a slump. But we also took capture data on a line basis as well. So if we have a length of bank that the bank protection is starting to fail or it's underwater, then we would denote that entire length of bank so that we have measurements of how much of a certain characteristic we've seen. So these are some examples from the levee survey. So we did conduct this in early May. We're still going through the data right now. We need QA seeing it to make sure that everything's okay with what we captured, and to make sure that if there was anything that we missed, that we come back out and grab that. But just a few examples of what we've seen. So the top three photos are various degrees of vegetation growth on the embankment or the sides of the embankments. We've seen things like this park here, where there's maybe been some erosion, potential slope failure, animal burrows, of course. And then when I talked earlier about a line segment data capture, this would be an example of one where we can see the bank protection there is kind of underwater, maybe not necessarily working the way that it's supposed to. And so those are the types of data that we capture for line segments. Of where we're going with this project is, again, we're going through the data that have been captured and just making sure that everything was captured in the correct way. This is a federally funded grant, and so there is a quality assurance protocol that we do have to follow for this, so we're making sure that we capture quality data. But we're looking at prioritizing what we've seen. So once we've gone through, we've fully QA/QC'd the data, we'll be looking at capturing the severity of what we've seen in different segments of the levee and looking at ways of categorizing risk for that. So what is the closest infrastructure that could potentially be affected by a failure of this particular segment of the levee? And we're going to be working through that risk assessment process with both the township and the conservancy district. And pulling in those various factors in how many animal burrows are along a certain segment, what did that mean versus how many you've seen across another segment, things along that line. We are not only prioritizing what we've seen observationally out in the field, but we also have high quality, high resolution LIDAR data that has been made available vertical elevations of the embankments so that we will run flood off-flood risk model. And so we will look at the 10% chance of annual exceedance, the 5%, as well as the 1%. And by doing this, we can see if there is any vertical deficiency that would potentially, under certain flood conditions, allow for a breach of that levee system. And so that will also play into our risk prioritization. Once we've developed that prioritization and we've identified some high priority segments, our goal is to work through a handful of conceptual project ideas that can then be used to go and pursue future grant funding for implementation, for repair, or needed maintenance. And part of why we've asked you to be here, and it's great that you're here, is that we're also looking for public input into this process. So some of the levy is privately held. Some of it has maintenance records that we may not necessarily have to be privy to. We may not know the historical background. We may not have the anecdotal evidence that you see on a daily basis because this is on your property or on your neighbor's property. And so we're definitely looking for that type of input from you, so that will help us build our risk prioritization process as well. Timeline of the project, pretty self-explanatory up there. We, again, we're in June here, so we've worked through the field assessment. We're going through that data now. We're moving into this risk prioritization process development now, and we'll be using what we've seen out in the field, again, conversations with the township, and then input from the public as well that will help us build that process. We'll work on that for the next several months. And once we have that prioritization process outlined and we've identified the highest priority segments, we'll work towards that conceptual plan development for future funding. And with that, I would be happy to entertain any questions that you might have about the study.
They take into account field tiling. Can they tell if the farmer is tiled field?
We did not look at field tiles, no. Usually we don't have, I mean, if you come across a tile, you can see that, but other than that, we don't have field tile maps or anything like that.
So I think that would affect a lot of moves, where it moves. And are streams a part of the embankments you talk about?
We are looking just at the embankment itself and not the actual surface water running.
Okay, so, but are they going along the streams?
The
embankments along the streams?
Yes.
Yeah, if I could just, sorry, I'm, for those of you who don't know me, I'm Adam Hoff with the Reno Beach Howard Farms Conservancy District. I think to answer your question about the field tile, we are aware that the fields, the agricultural fields inside the perimeter of the levee system, are many of them, if not all of them, are tiled. Some of them outlet to interior ditches that are inside the levee system. Some of them may go to privately owned pumping stations, those types of things. But that, and yes, that is important with respect to how the water moves inside the levee system itself. What Deanna and CEC were really focusing on is the flood protection to keep, you know, water coming in from Ward's Canal, Cooley Canal, and Lake Erie, keep that from getting in. In terms of managing the water inside there, it's a little bit different discussion and not within the scope of this study.
Yeah, Adam, please explain exactly what that crest and toes look like so everyone knows the scope of what we're talking about.
Yeah, so Mark, if you can go back to that map. Sorry, Ian, I don't know.
No, you're fine.
This one? Yep. So you can see the dashed line going around here. That's the perimeter of the Conservancy District itself. The green and blue lines are all part of the township. Okay, so there's a subset of the township that's within the district, but not all of the district is throughout the entire township. I think it's important. It's an important distinction.
levee that runs along the lakeshore itself is comprised, it's a very, very heavily armored system. When I say armored, it means it has it. You guys hear me okay? So that armored system means it has a lot of large riprap on it. It was built with some very heavily compacted materials to Army Corps specifications, and that was done, redone. I think some of you may have been here at the time. It was redone in the early 90s. Okay, so that levee is goes to approximately. I'm probably getting the numbers wrong. I should in my head, especially in the public. But it's roughly 4 feet above the 1% annual chance of exceedance event. It's the crest of that levee that's along the lakeshore. Okay? The levees that were, or the dams, in fact, they were actually built around the Howard Marsh for both phase one and phase two of the Metro Parks. Those are considered private installations. Those were actually built to Ohio Department of Natural Resources dam safety requirements. Very similar to Army Corps, but not quite as rigorous for the lakefront, but they are connected in and they're actually up to roughly the same elevation, maybe about a foot below what the Army Corps elevation is at. The remainder of the levees that are shown in green, levees and dikes that are along there, those were privately built, some of them dating back well early 1940s, 1920s even. It's probably when they were first put in. They've probably been amended since then. I know Mr. Grotto did some work along his, along the north side of Route 2 a couple of years back. And those are kind of varying in design. Generally, anywhere from probably 4 to 10 feet across the top, sloping down about 1 to 1 to maybe 3 to 1 side slopes depending on where you are. Most of them are earthen embankments. Most of them do not have riprap reinforcement on them. So I think that is that the detail you're looking for, Elvis?
Yeah, specifically, approximately, and again, I don't have exact numbers, but the crest of the dike, the toe that leads into the lake, and the toe that goes towards the land side. That is specifically the focus area of the survey, correct? Yeah.
Correct. Other questions? No additional questions. Dave, I believe Deanna, please jump in, but Deanna has kindly brought 3 blown-up versions of the map you have in your FAQ packet. They're on the easels. We would encourage you to take a close look if you have any anecdotal data to add, and have any knowledge about where you see a lot of animal burrowing, or whether you've seen trees that are at risk of being toppled in highlands, and anything you think is a risk, we'd invite you to please look on there, and we want them to actually mark on there where it is. Yes, we invite you to mark those up to add additional data for CDC to use.
So, Adam, Deanna, this whole study that you guys are doing just tells us where the issues are. Once this data is all compiled, then that allows us and the Conservancy to apply for federal grants to be able to have these bad spots or weak points fixed, possible grants, if not the whole thing. Now, does CDC help with that process?
We can help with grant writing, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, you raise a very good point, because for us to go after additional capital funding for repairs or replacement, one of the things we'd be expecting is to provide some fairly detailed survey data. That's what this will accomplish. It will accomplish that detailed survey data so that we're well positioned to go after the next step.
Also, and some of the preliminary concepts that we developed out of this would help give you some cost estimates. They're preliminary, again, but some conceptual cost estimates that you would then be able to use in your pursuit grant funds.
And this is going to be, this
very long-term process, because once we get done with your portion, then the next portion, if I'm correct, would be the engineering standpoint of it.
Yep. For the goal we have is to identify what would be immediate, mid-range, and long-term. So if there are deficiencies that are identified that we feel the risk is imminent, then we have to figure out how we can address that as quickly as we possibly can. But for the most part, what we anticipate is that it's going to be a series of mid-range and long-range planning that gets accomplished, both inside the district and within the township area. We'll have to find out, like Deanna said, we'll have some conceptual costs at that time. Then yes, as we go through the process, the engineering side of it, once we can identify a source of funding, once we can identify how we're going to pay for it, projects and our projects, so the money's in place, then we start to work through the process of engineering, start to refine the concepts, get things further along until finally we can ultimately go to construction and get the work accomplished. And this could take a number of years. It's not something that's going to happen overnight.
Have all the points of deficiency been identified, or is that going to be ongoing through the summer?
So our field collection right now is complete. We are taking what we've collected and we're going through a process of just double checking to make sure that we didn't miss anything, that all of the data that we collected are complete. But unless there is an area that we have identified that we didn't capture the data correctly, or there's a question as to the data quality, the data collection is complete.
You had a slide, I thought, with some points on it that should perhaps where some of the deficiencies are. Am I correct? But that's what it should
be. Examples?
Down, back.
Back.
There. Are those?
Those are different point deficiencies, yes. And then it's hard to see on here, but there is a line segment on there as well.
With regards to the climate levels, right? What type of pressure we're going to put on the private landowner to fix the deficiencies? Is there any means of, the money's going to be available for the public dikes, or the dikes that are currently in place, but the private landowners, what's going to make them, make the revenue?
I would expect that we'd be going after funding to address issues in the entire levee system. I don't expect that we're going to be going through and saying, okay, it's going to be $1 million to fix this portion, and there's three people that own pieces of that, so here's your bill. We haven't lined up the funding yet, because we don't know what the price tag is and we don't know what the specific areas are, but the idea is we identify specific problem areas, and then we go after grant funding opportunities, and we see where that goes.
And I'm going to dovetail into that by saying, at this point in time, I think it's fair to say we don't know what we don't know. So the first thing is get our arms around the information, identify what the problems are, where the problems are, begin to develop a strategy of how we would address those. If they are within the Army Corps segment, then the district has a conversation with the Army Corps of Engineers. If it's private property, if it's a private levee system within the district boundary, we have, under Ohio Revised Code, we have a mechanism that we can work through that process. But it's still a process. And the same will hold true for anything out in the remainder of the township. So, but first things first is we have to find out where the problems are and define what's the worst that we need to attack and prioritize it.
Adam, is there any thought or talk of possibly taking more of that in the district? I mean, is that an option, or is that not an option to current scheme?
It's, okay. It's not within the scope of this study.
Right.
That's one. So she's off the hook.
Yep.
So the
direct answer to your question, is it a possibility? The answer is, it is a possibility. It is a very lengthy process to go through. Right now, as a conservancy district, I can speak for myself. I can't speak for the board. Okay, I can't speak for the board. I can speak for myself. We have a number of issues that we need to address to make sure that our house is in order before we look at anything else. So I want to make sure that we do that now.
Can you repeat this question?
Oh, I'm sorry. The question was asked whether there was an opportunity or a possibility of any of the other portions of the township coming into part of the district, part of the Reno Beach Howard Farms Conservancy.
So for the record, there was, years and years ago, the Howard Farm subdivision in the Hunting Road area, just so people know, that used to be in the Conservancy District, and especially since the Metro Parks did phase one and two, as you can see on the maps, that boundary has changed significantly, and it's cut off a big chunk of the area that in the past flooded and is more protected now because of those Metro Parks dike structures. Doesn't mean that something couldn't change down the road, but probably not likely.
And also, for what it's worth, I should also let you know that the whole petitioning process goes along with doing that is not something that is decided upon by the Reno Beach Howard Farms Conservancy District Board. It actually goes through Lucas County Court of Common Pleas. So it's the whole process is outlined in our revised code under section 6101. If anyone wants some light reading, that's a fun section to go through.
Yes, those are point deficiencies out there, but I don't mind anything. Oh my gosh, there's a deficiency everywhere. Part of this process, some of those are, it could be a small animal burrow. It could be something that's bigger, more immediate attention, but I just don't like it. Walk away thinking there's a problem everywhere.
Just want to walk away from your house.
Yeah, no, and again, that's part of this process to figure out, is this something that needs an immediate look at? Is this something that needs to be monitored versus relatively low risk?
And are there any other questions at this time regarding this?
I'm assuming that this is all going to be put up on the township page for people to look at.
If you go to the township website and the main menu, you go over to government and you come down, there's a new sub item under government that says levy survey, and all the materials with the exception of this presentation are there. Following after tonight, this presentation will be uploaded there as well. But that has the original Ohio Lake Erie Commission grant that we submitted and the approval letter, that has the FAQs that you have in front of you, it has the map that's up here. So yes, all of this information will be made available publicly through that website.
Thank you.
Good question.
Is that linked to Reno Beach Howard Farms Conservancy Board?
I'm going to get an update on our website as soon as I can get it. Still getting it. So yeah, you should be able to get that.
Adam, could you just clarify one more time, just because I know there's been a lot of confusion on Jerusalem Township's responsibility and kind of conservancy?
You mean the Jerusalem Township government's responsibility?
Yes.
So Jerusalem Township's government's responsibility, and I believe what you're asking about is maintenance of some of the roadways, drainage ditches, and some of the storm sewers that are inside the boundaries of the district itself. The district's responsibility is to protect the area from flooding, and that really means maintaining the dike and levee system. It's around the perimeter of the district, and there's also, we have three primary pumping stations. We have an auxiliary pumping station. It's on the Rye by Howard Farms, Howard Marsh Phase 1,
And then we also work with one private property owner with the use of their pumping station as well to get the water out once it's conveyed to the pumping stations. But the ditches and drains are actually a combination, I believe, of both the county and the township.
I think specifically what I was referring to is that there's folks in the community that were calling the township in regards to conservancy district matters. We are two completely separate political subdivisions. We work together, but we do not report to Houston Township.
Right. Yes, the Conservancy District is an independent political subdivision.
And one more point of clarification, if you would please, Adam. I know it says in the brief I asked questions, but talk about the active status we're in for a second, if you would please. And then also, you know, the whole scope of this thought process, which is a proactive stance, which probably hasn't been taken before, to be able to identify the pecking order and mitigate the highest risk areas first.
So, the Army Corps did a study a number of years ago, and I believe the conservative estimates were well in excess of $100 million of potential damage that could occur if the area were to flood. The levee system that is along the lake shore and runs partway down Ward's Canal, Lady King before, that's what we call the project levee. That's the Army Corps project levee. It was built through money that came through, actually it was authorized as a line item from Congress. Unfortunately, due to some challenges with maintenance over the years, it fell into what was called an inactive status. The board of directors for the Conservancy District over the last probably 10 years or so, plus or minus, until actually just, well, yeah, including my tenure and now Elvis is on there too. We've been very, very rigorously working to get that back into an active status, which we were able to do successfully. That was accomplished. We received a letter last year from the Army Corps. What that means and why it's vitally important is that while that levee is in active status, if there is a breach or some form of failure within that portion of the levee system, the Army Corps will help in the process of rebuilding it, and that is a big, big issue. It's a multi-million-dollar project if we had to go in and try to renovate that levee system ourselves. So that's something that's incredibly important for us to maintain that active status. And so ongoing measures, including vegetation control, which is a big part of what we do as part of the district. We're currently working with Roy Bonnier. He's been doing some spraying and mowing for us. Still working with him a little bit. We've got to get some things tweaked, but we're getting there. And then that's, as long as we can keep doing what we need to do, we're going to have annual site. So we have annual site visits from the Army Corps of Engineers. They make sure that we're maintaining the dike the way it should be. And then now they've instituted a new policy that every 5 years, they're going to do a much more rigorous inspection. And we'll have to address whatever deficiencies that they identified at that time to maintain the levee in its active status.
So let me piggyback on Adam's comment. From the perspective of the Jerusalem Township government, our role in representing and protecting the community. Reno Beach Howard Farms Conservancy District's efforts to get that project segment of the levee back into active status, I cannot overemphasize the importance of that. That's huge. Kudos to the board of the Reno Beach Howard Farms Conservancy District for all of their efforts, and that's a tremendous accomplishment that they completed late last year. So we're very pleased, and that should give everyone a significant level of comfort that, yes, we are in active status, and that means that we have the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers behind us. If we were not in active status, they'd have the option to say, no, sorry, you haven't maintained any standards, we aren't available to help. But we are maintaining those minimum standards, and they are backing us up. So
we're very, very pleased by that. And I'm going to add just two quick things to that. One is, want more information about the district. Reno Beach Howard Farms Conservancy District, you can Google it very easily. We have a website, it's rbhfce.org. So we're very open book about what we do. Everything is up there, including our meeting minutes, everything that's been completed so far. One additional thing I do want to dovetail into, and it's been a point of discussion we've had at our district meetings, which, by the way, the next meeting is Monday, July 10th. So if you're interested, we meet over here in the Township Hall. But one of the items that's in there is what's called a 408 permit. And so this affects any of the property owners that actually front along the lakefront levee itself. One of the things that we have to maintain on that levee is ease of access for inspection. So anything that's done by, I understand it's private, I'm a bit of a libertarian myself, believe it or not, but if you're doing anything, building a deck, putting up a swing set, you know, even landscaping that would be along that lakeshore, lakefront levee, you have to file for what's called a 408 permit. Frankly, they're pretty much rubber stamped. They're not a big deal. It's just a process you have to go through. If we don't have those, that can be one of those deficiencies that gets noted, and then we have to work through the process to get things taken out and get things opened up again. If you take a look at what's along there now, you can see, you have a good idea of what's acceptable and what's not. Anything that was there before that process started is grandfathered in, but anything that's new has to go through this 408 process.
So would you recommend? We want to go lake, and we have structure that's on the dike that's not obstructing any access. What would you suggest that we take it and fill it out?
Those were all grandfathered in. We had a blank. We documented all of those and provided that information to the Army Corps, so that if it was there within the last 3 years, it was built by them. Then we've got a document, and it's already been approved. We got that card. I will say also, so we do have some sheets here. If you're not comfortable addressing us in this forum, feel free to fill this out, any question with some contact information. Deanna, myself, Mark, we'll be sure to get back to you and make sure that we get all your questions answered.
So again, you're invited to take a closer look at the big blow-up maps. I'll fill out any questions that you want to leave behind, and we can follow up. Are there any other questions on this topic? Hearing none, is there a motion to adjourn? Second.
Roll call, Dave Bench. Mark Saller.
Yes.
Bill Miller.
Yes.
Meeting adjourned 7:43.